The psalmist said, Moab is my washpot. Now, I'll have to give you a little bit of explanation so you understand the scripture. Before I start, I don't know where the baby is, but I want the baby taken to the nursery immediately. Now, I don't want to be unkind, but I'll find where the baby is in a minute, and somebody will be embarrassed. People have come from far and near, and they have worked hard this week, and they need to hear the Word of God. And I make no apologies or bones about it. I intend for them to hear the Word of God. And so we're going to bow our heads and have a prayer, and you will take the baby to the nursery now, and when it's not embarrassing, or during the service later, you'll take it when it is embarrassing. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes to make it easy for you. Every eye is closed, and make it easy for whoever has the baby. I haven't spotted the baby yet, but the nursery is for the baby. And if you're the kind that would not do it, then maybe you ought to be in the nursery bed too. But let's be sure that everyone is very still and quiet. People want to hear. They have a right to hear. I don't mean to be unkind, but I want to give you the opportunity so you won't be unkind, so we can all hear. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Now, Father, help us to have the attention of every person, not because we want the attention, but everybody needs to hear thy word. We need, dear God, strength for this week. Please give it to us. Amen. Now, to understand the teaching of the scripture and the sermon, you'll have to follow these few comments. The Jewish, or the Oriental, and especially the Middle Easterner, had one thing about washing his feet, and that is, he would never wash his feet in still water in a basin. I'm sure you've met people that wouldn't take a bath. Say, what? Wash my face in the same water I wash my feet in? It is sort of ridiculous when you come to think about it. But anyway, the Oriental would never do that, never at all. He would only wash his hands and feet over running water. So he would take the water and pour the water over his hand and over this hand. And then he would take his feet and pour the water, the fresh water, over his feet. Never wash his hands, for example, and then wash his feet in the same water. Now, many of us can recall the days before bathtubs, and I will recall those days. At our house, we bathe in a number two tub. I mean, one of those number two tubs. Well, Dad always bathed first, and Mother always bathed second, and Earlene always bathed third. And there were only four of us. And I can recall awaiting my time, and by the time Dad's dirt, Mother's dirt, and Earlene's dirt were in the tub, there was more dirt in the tub than there was on me, and I would have been cleaner to have stayed out. But I can recall looking at that water, about time to crawl in that tub after three washings, and saying, I'll be glad when I'm a dad, and I can be number one. And but now, the Oriental has more sense than we do. He doesn't do it like we do it. The Oriental pours the water over his feet. Now, the water is caught under his feet, and the dirt also in a basin. And that basin is called a wash pot. Nothing is there but dirty water. The dirt from off the hands and feet is caught, and the dirty water is caught, and that's called the wash pot. Now, when the Lord said that Moab is my wash pot, he was not exactly speaking good things about Moab. He was saying, Moab, by the way, this morning I preached on Moab, the country of Moab, a type of the world, a type of sin. I mentioned this morning how that as we march toward heaven, we have to walk through this world, and that's likened to the Israelites marching through Moab on their way to the promised land. We too have a Moab, and our Moab is the world. And so what God is saying is this, Moab is my washpot, but every Christian has a washpot, and that washpot is the world. Now, in a sense, it is not bad, this washpot. Now, we're going to spend our entire time tonight preaching on this washpot, just a washpot, and it is the world. You see, as the Christian cleanses himself, as he is cleansed by the living water, Christ cleanses us, then our filth and our dirt is washed off into the world. And the world is our washpot. Now, in a sense, it isn't bad to have a washpot. One reason is this. Because we can see what we used to be. And thank God for the dirt that has been washed off. Here's a fellow who washes his feet in the washpot. Now, don't misunderstand me. You don't put your foot in the wash pot. You pour the water over your feet, and the water with the dirt. By the way, they wore sandals in those days, and their feet got very, very dirty. Now he poured the water over his feet, and the dirt and the dirty water went in the wash pot. Now we look at that wash pot tonight, and we see the dirt that was washed off of our feet. And so a fellow could look in that wash pot and say, I'm glad that my feet don't have that dirt on them again. Now the world is our wash pot. As we're cleansed from our sins, as we grow in grace, we look in the wash pot, which is the world, and see our sins. And we can say, thank God we don't have those things. A drunk, for example, looks in the world as his wash pot, and he sees a drunkard, an ex-drunk rather, a fellow who was saved from alcohol and delivered. And how many of you fellows used to drink liquor? Be honest about it. Raise your hand. All you fellows that used to drink liquor. All right. Now then, every time you see a drunk walking down the street, you can see in him your wash pot. And you can say, thank God, I do not live that kind of life again. So the world is our wash pot, can be used at the time of Thanksgiving. Here's a fellow that used to have profane mouth. I'm used to curse and use dirty language and so forth. And he hears some cursing on the job. And he says, you know, I used to do that. Let me ask you a question. Isn't it hard to realize that you used to do that? Many of you fellows who've been saved and your life has changed, and isn't it hard to realize that profane language could come out of your mouth? I look at some of our deacons, and I look back and see Randall Frizzell sitting here at the end of this row. Randall, they say Randall had to, when he got saved, had to change his vocabulary almost. And now I can't feature Randall Frizzell being a mean fellow. When I went to see him, his brother Ken said, now he may beat you up. I don't know what. Of course, he couldn't do it in the first place. But he said he may beat you up. I don't know what he's going to do. And I can't feature. He's one of the kindest, gentlest men I ever knew. I can't feature anything but good language and kindness coming from his mouth. But he can hear a man curse and swear, and many of you fellows can, and see what's been washed off of your feet. And you can say, thank God, I'm delivered from that kind of vile language. Young people, you can look at folks who misbehave in the services and say, thank God, I hope I get delivered from that someday, too. And so the wash pot carries the dirt and the filth. And you can look at it after it's washed off and thank God that it's been washed. Let's take a person who has a hot temper or had a hot temper before you got saved. Any of you had a hot temper before you got saved? You had a hot temper after you got saved. But before you got saved, and you hear somebody fly off the handle and lose his temper, and you say, well, thank God, I'm glad that God delivered me from that. And so here's a big pot of water. You've poured water over your feet. The dirt has come off. The water's dirty. Now, Moab is my wash pot, said the Lord, and the world is our wash pot. Now, hold it. There are, however, some dangers in this wash pot. Now, follow me carefully, and I think you'll get some clues. There are some dangers in the wash pot. Here's an Oriental has washed his feet. His feet are clean. Under his feet, there's a pot of old, what we used to call that little pan we used to have. We had a bucket and a dipper and poured, was it the wash pan? Wash basin? Wash pan? What else? Wash dish? Wash pan? Okay, anyway, you call it a little thing. It's about 6 inches in diameter, about that big around. And we had a bucket here and a dipper. Anybody here as old as I am? Shut up. But anyway, we had the bucket and the dipper, and we'd put the dipper in the bucket and dip some water out and put the pan on the stove. Remember that? And you'd heat the water, and then many a time after it's heated, you take your shoes off, put your foot up there, and this is my pulpit, this is my britches. If I want to spit them on it, I can, says Oliver Green. And you wash your feet. And now then, the dirt is in the pot. Now, there are five dangers about the wash pot for the Christian. In the first place, putting your feet too close to the wash pot. Putting your feet too close to the wash pot. Keep your feet way up high. After you wash your feet, be sure the water is a long ways from your feet, because if you don't watch out, you'll splash some of the dirt back on your foot again. Moab is my wash pot. Okay, that's okay. You need a wash pot. And look down and see the dirt and say, thank God, the dirt is gone. Thank God, the dirt is gone. Thank God, the sins are gone. But be careful. Don't put your feet too close to the water, because that dirty water can splash up on you again. Listen, It is one of the great dangers of the new Christian for him not to completely change his habits of life and the places where he goes. Here's a person that listens to dirty music. And by dirty music, I mean rock and roll is dirty music. A person listens to dirty music and he gets saved. Young person does. So what happens? Well, she still runs around with the same boys and girls. She doesn't listen to dirty music, but she runs around with the same crowd. She keeps her feet too close to the wash pot. And before you know it, some of that dirty music has splashed upon you again, and you're listening to dirty music. A lady said to me, very fine lady, one of the finest ladies in this church. She said, well, Hiles, I came to the church. I joined. But it was so different. That's true. Thank God. It is so different, she said. And she said, I used to wear slacks before I came. And she said, you preached against wearing slacks. You better know. I preach against men wearing skirts, too, by the way. And I think ladies ought to be ladies and dress like ladies and look like ladies and walk like ladies and wear their hair like ladies and wear clothes like ladies. And she said, Brother Hiles, I quit wearing slacks. But she said, I'm getting back now to where I want to wear them again. I said, where are they? She said, in my closet. I said, that's why you want to wear them again. If you'd have burned them, you wouldn't be tempted. And don't give them away unless you give them to some nice fella. You see? Now, nobody's going to know who this is, and I wouldn't embarrass anybody like this for the world, because, I just wouldn't want to do that. Mrs. Beebe would be hurt. She's new here, and she'd be hurt. Now, what happened? She should have gotten rid of her slacks. She held her feet too close to the wash pot, you see, and before she knew it, splashing up again. Somebody said not long ago, said, I came to First Baptist Church and said, I quit certain things, but said, you know, my friends, the crowd, they do those things. And for example, say mixed bathing. And by the way, I'm unalterably opposed to mixed bathing. No, I'm not. It's mixed nudity. If you wear overcoats, I don't mind at all you going mixed bathing. It's mixed nudity. Now look, if it's wrong to wear that kind of clothing on the street, it's wrong to wear it on the beach. Are you listening to me? What in the world does concrete and sand have to do with changing what's right to wear and not wear? Young people, you listen to me. Girl with glasses, you look at me. Look at me! You need this. If it's wrong to dress like that on the street, it's wrong to dress like that on the beach. Let me ask you a question. Is it just wrong to be on the street unclothed? Is it okay to be unclothed on the beach? Okay. Why can't you go without any clothes on the beach then? I'm saying, now, if you believe in mixed bathing, okay, I don't mind that, but wear the same thing downtown Hammond. The sin is stirring the lust in the minds of men. And so this lady said, by the way, I hadn't said that for a while. I'm preaching either next Sunday night or the next Sunday night on the sins of summer. The sins of summer. And so don't get mad tonight, because you'll kill me next Sunday night. But the sins of summer. Now, I'm saying be consistent about it. Be consistent. Is it where you go naked that's wrong, or going naked that's wrong? Is it showing the thighs that's wrong? There are people in this room who would not let their daughters wear mini skirts, but that they'll let their daughters wear less than that in front of boys on a beach. You say, Brother Hiles, I'm shocked. Not as shocked as I am. I'm shocked about your preaching. I'm shocked about your nudeness, too. Because, well, I don't like you. Well, you're not my favorite person either. You say, we'll fire you. I'll pluck your tail feathers in my last sermon. I'm simply saying, it's time God's people put some clothes on. You sit out there and say, amen. I preach about these miniskirted gals, and yet we've got some people right here, the best folks we have in many cases, who go out on beaches and go out on beach parties with less clothes on than miniskirted. And I've got more respect for the miniskirted girls than I have you. Amen, Brother Hiles. That's good preaching. Amen. Let me have it. Or I'll let you have it. God pity us. We say, Brother Hiles, that's a southern custom. No, certain nudity is in the north and south. And it's wrong anywhere you go. And so the person said, Brother Hiles, let me just stay on mixed bathing a while. You say, Brother Hiles, what's wrong? Because men's thoughts, you stir men's animal passions, That's why our country is living in adultery, living in lasciviousness, living in filth, living in immorality. Why? I'll tell you why. Because we put on television and in the newspapers and magazines and billboards and the streets and the beaches and everywhere we go, men can hardly open their eyes without seeing the thighs of women. I don't care who you are. If you've got red blood in your veins and you're an honest person, you'll have to admit that you look twice. It's time you ladies put some clothes on. I mean, when you walk out of the house, have your thighs covered. If I had time, I could show you where it's a sin, according to the Bible, to show your thighs in public. Now, you better help me here. I may just stay on this rest of the night. Our people need this. But somebody said to the house, the crowd that I run with still goes mixed bathing. Maybe you ought to change your crowd. But you say, Brother Hiles, they go to church here. I said, maybe you ought to change your crowd. But you say, Brother Hiles, they're deacon's children. Maybe you ought to change your crowd. I don't believe in going around people that are unrest, whether deacon's kids or Sunday school teacher's kids or First Baptist, anybody else. Put some clothes on. Now you say, you're against mixed bathing. I'm not against mixed bathing. If you'll get Grandma's old bathing suit out, just go ahead and have at it. But I am against going... Listen, you know as well as I know. You know as well as I know how they dress on these beaches. Now, the problem is, by the way, I may never get to my sermon unless you get with it. But don't expect me to change. And don't you expect me to like it. And don't you expect God to like it either. You young girls tonight over here, all over the house, you teenage girls, you're the age right now where you can either be a modest, lovable, likable, sweet, Christian, dedicated girl who saves her body for the one God gives her, or you can send your body and show your body for the lewd, filthy glances of a lustful, sensual world. Take your choice. But in God's name, you ought to be decent the way you dress. Now, the tragedy is this. A lot of people come out of that, but they keep their feet too close to the water. You keep running with the same old crowd. That's one of the finest things about Hammond Baptist High School. You don't have your feet too close to the water. One of the finest things about young people running with God's people, their feet are not too close to the water. You take a person who used to drink, run for the drinking crowd still. His feet are too close to the water. Take a person who gossips and goes back with the old crowd of ladies that still gossip, or the crowd of men that still little tales and so forth. You hold your feet too close to the water. Now, when you wash your feet and all the dirt comes off, be careful, because you may splash the water back up on your feet again. Don't hold your feet too close to the water. Moab is my washpot. Number two, the second danger is this, and that is trying to clean the water. Trying to clean the water. Here's the danger. Here's a fellow washes his feet, pours water over his feet, the Oriental style, and he gets the dirty water in the wash pot, and he begins to look at that wash pot and says, you know, I believe I'll clean that water. No, forget that water. The idea is to clean your feet. Before you know it, you can start a campaign to clean the water. Now, the world is our wash pot. We're not supposed to clean the world. We're supposed to wash ourselves clean and let our sins go back into the world. The job of the church is not to clean up the world. Do you know that most churches today, most churches spend most of their time trying to clean up the washpot? Let me say this. Did you know that cleaning up the washpot, you'll do it better by just keeping clean feet? Work on the feet and the washpot will take care of itself. Here's a fellow, gets his feet real dirty and pours the water over his feet, and the washpot has dirty water in it. He says, man, I'll tell you what, I'm going to spend my life trying to clean up that dirty water. So he gets his feet dirty again. You'll never do it, because just as soon as you get the wash water clean, your feet are dirty again, you'll wash your feet again. Listen, we'll clean up this world 10,000 times quicker trying to work on men than working on society. A lady called me this last week, a very fine lady. She called me and she said, Brother Hiles, she said, why don't you start a campaign to have, and I'd like to do this, really. It really stirs my salivary glands, the thought of it. She said, you're the man to have a march on Washington. As big, she said, if you would do it. Now, she said, you're the guy in America that could get enough people to have 100,000 decent people go to Washington and have a march on Washington. Now, really, that sounds wonderful to me. I'd like to do it. I'd like to show them how decent people look. I'd like to show them. Well, we could find some somewhere. I'd like to show them how decent people look. But did you know, with all of my heart, I believe that is not the best way to get America cleaned up. That's working on the water. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, why don't you march on Washington? I did this morning. I am tonight. I'm trying to get you cleaned up. Now, if the 100,000 people who would go march on Washington would just go soul winning, we'd do more cleaning up in this country than the march on Washington. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not against McIntyre's march on Washington. Don't you write McIntyre there and get me in trouble now. I'm for what he's doing. It just so happens God has not called me to do it. I'm convicted that the best way to clean America up is start where it all happens. Starts right here in the heart. Get people born again. Build churches that are soul-winning churches and after sinners all the time. And get folks born again and clean up from the inside and dedicate their lives to God and give their lives to Jesus Christ and spread across America like a prairie fire, conviction and decency, not that's legislated, not that is a lobby in Washington, but that comes from the hearts of regenerated men. That's what I think will clean up our nation. And so I'm not interested in cleaning up the washpot. I'm interested in cleaning up the feet. You clean the feet up, and the wash water will not be as dirty. The social gospel is simply trying to clean the water up instead of the feet. Here's a fellow who washed his feet, looks down at that pan, says, good night, look at that dirty water. I'm going to spend my life cleaning up that water. Forgets the fact that the water is coming from dirty feet. Get the feet clean, you get the water clean. That's what Mr. Groppi is trying to do. He's trying to clean up the dirty water. When he ought to be preaching the gospel of salvation and regeneration to the hearts of needy people. That's what Martin Luther King Jr., the late Martin Luther King Jr., tried to do. You know, sort of a sad thing about that fellow. Did you know he used to be a gospel preacher? Did you know Abernathy used to be a pretty decent gospel preacher?
I is your leader.
Did you know he used to be a pretty good gospel preacher? Sort of sad to see a fellow going out of the foot washing business into the water cleaning business, isn't it? Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not being, yes, I am too, critical of Martin Luther King. But it's sort of sad that a man quits the washing of the feet and starts working on the cleaning of the water. Because the job of the preacher is to work on people. And so here's, the Lord says, Moab is my washpot. Don't try to clean up Moab. Just keep your feet clean. The Lord said, now, I'm not trying to get you to clean Moab up. It's a good place to wash your feet in the old dirty water and go to Moab. But don't spend your time trying to clean the water. There's a third thought. And that is this, and that's the danger of washing with dirty water. Washing with dirty water. There's a danger of using that same water that just cleansed your feet and with which to wash your feet the next time. No, keep washing your feet with fresh water, running water. Jesus said, I am the living water. He meant more than just alive water. I am the running water. I'm the artesian well, springing up all the time, a constant source, a fountain of living water. Use that water. Don't use the dirty water. That's one reason why every person in this house tonight ought to go to a gospel-preaching church. That's where you get your feet clean. But yet, what you do? You come out and visit First Baptist every once in a while and go back to some dead church that is nothing but Moab itself, nothing but an old dirty washpot. And the dirty water is what you use with which to cleanse your own personal life. I was saying a while ago about the number two tub business. I don't care who you are. Did you know? Now, I bathe. I don't shower, but I believe in showering. I wash my feet in the same water I wash my face with, and vice versa. But I think that a shower is the best way to bathe. It just so happens I like to soak, until my hands get wrinkled. They're getting wrinkled now without soaking. But anyway, you wait, son. You wait till you get old. God's going to punish you for this slander on old men. I'll be like Elisha. I'll get some she-bears come out and devour you if you keep slandering us old men. You'll be old someday, young feller, and then you'll know. But I bathe. But showering is the best way. Did anybody here ever eat in an old country place where you used to eat out of the dishes that folks first crowd ate from? I've been two or three places in my life. Two or three of them were out in where I was pastoring and preaching, where that you had two or three crowds to eat at the table. Anybody ever been where you had to eat the second or third group? Did anybody here, and I know in West Virginia, Rose, you did this. I know that. God knows that West Virginia folks don't wash the dishes but once a week. But I can recall sitting down at the table and eating, and the lady would say, "Be sure and salt your plates." You know what salt means? It's a perfectly scriptural word. It's in the Bible. And but salt is when you get your bread, and the plates still have a little gravy left from the meat, and you get the bread and you wad it up and you just like that. By the way, it is not good manners. It is delicious eating. And I didn't do it until Emily Post died, but I thank God. But anyway, you school teachers, please forgive me, would you? School teachers, high school, Hammond Baptist High School, forgive me. I know better. But sometime when the students, when you're eating alone as a faculty, try it. It's wonderful. And, but anyway, then say, be sure and sop it up real good. Why? Well, of course, we have another group going to have to eat. Anybody here ever see that besides me? Come on now. Come on. Get with it. Here's one over here. Where are you from? Well, the Indians. As far as I'm concerned, you go back to the Indians as far as I'm concerned. Well, I worked worse than that. I worked with the Texans. And I'll tell you what, it was rather a discouraging sight. I always thank God I was the preacher. I'd hate to have been in the second group. I'm glad at least you've seen it, because I know it happens, and I've seen it. But the same, of course, with the bathwater. Now, the thing is, you want to clean yourself with fresh water. You want to keep the water pouring over your feet all the time. That's why you need to come to a Bible-preaching church. That's why you need sermons like this regularly. That's why you ought to come to a church that stands for something. People that, you go to churches, many of you do, where grandmother went and mother went, but the church preached the Bible back in those days. They stood for something. Back in those days, they stood for decency and against wrong and far right and believed every word in the Bible. But nowadays, in the average church, anything goes. You know it's the truth. Anything goes. Now, get out of those churches and get your family in a church where the fresh water is always being poured and where the feet can be washed not with the old dirty water from the world, but the water that's fresh that comes from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Washing with the dirty water is dangerous. I know people who stay in churches because they say, "I'm going to clean it up." Or that's just like saying, I'm going to wash my feet. I'm going to try to clean up this old water. Why? Because the water needs me. No, the world is a wash pot. And that means the church world, too. That means the liberal church world. That means the unconverted denominations. That means the wicked denominational schools that don't believe the Bible. That means the University of Chicago's. That means the schools built on the sacrificial dollars of God's blood-bought people that have been stolen by the wicked hands of liberals and modernists who've taken the Word of God and the power of God out from behind the desk in the chapel and turned the schools into places of heathen worship and centers of idolatry and heathenism under the guise of denominationalism. Colgate Divinity School's one. Princeton's one. Yale is one. Chicago University's one. Most of your Southern Baptist schools are just like that. Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville's like that. And other schools all across the country. People say, "You're going to stay in, clean it up." You may as well clean up the old dirty wash pot and get the old dirty water clean. Your job is not to clean up the dirty water. Your job is to keep your feet clean. And you better be sure your feet are not being cleaned in the filthy water of the world. Be careful. Washing with dirty water is a mistake. But there's something else about this, and that is this. The mistake of not looking at the water. Now, I want to stay a while on this. Listen. Not looking at the water. Be sure you look at the water, not the pan. You might get a beautiful, beautiful golden vessel, and you wash your feet in that golden vessel, but be sure you keep your eye on the water, not the vessel. It doesn't matter if you have a pure silver, solid silver container. The water is just as dirty. Whether you have an old-fashioned wash, what you call it, wash basin or wash pan, or you have a beautiful diamond-studded basin, it's still the same water. And the devil is a past master at making you take your eyes off the dirty water. He puts lights to shine on that dirty water. He puts beautiful ladies to carry that dirty water. He puts beautiful advertisements in the newspaper to advertise that dirty water. He puts beautiful clothing and advertise the dirty water.
He puts bright lights and waitresses and advertisements and television commercials and all the rest of it. Advertising is water.
Did you know the devil's a past master, or he couldn't sell poison and liquor bottles to people and make them think it makes them men of distinction? Now keep your eye on the water.
Okay, the devil says, come and you'll really begin to live if you drink my water. He puts it in a beautiful container.
Be careful. Look at the water. If you'll be careful, you'll find it's the same old dirty water that was in that wash pan a while ago. Young people, don't let the devil deceive you. He wants to get your eyes off the water.
It's dirt. It's filth. It's a wash pot. No matter what it's made of, it may be made of gold, but it's a wash pot. It may be made of silver, but it's a wash pot. It may be made of diamonds or rubies or emeralds or sapphire or chalcedony, but it's a wash pot. Keep your eye on the water.
Our newspapers pick up the dirty, rotten movie ads sometimes. And by the way, no decent Christian ought to find himself ever in a movie house these days. Pick up your movie ads sometime and read them. Walk by the average movie house, see your lights as they flash, and see the beautiful, beautiful outside, and see the pictures, and see the millions of dollars they spend, but be sure and look at the water. You'll find it's filthy. The devil's advertisement is nothing more than trying to take your eyes and mind off the dirty water. But he has taken his old dirty water and with millions of dollars has advertised it and made it bitter like gold. Go to Southern California sometime and look at Southern California. You folks that have been there know what I'm talking about. It's the rottenest part of America as far as I'm concerned. And notice how the devil has taken a bunch of old dirty water, the wash pot, God's wash pot, the filth of this world. Put signs and advertisement and glitter and taken the clothing halfway off of girls and beautiful girls serve this old dirty water. And they walk up and with a smile and temptation and luring, they serve the dirty water. With glittering clothes, they serve the dirty water. But keep your eyes on the water. It's still just old, filthy, dirty water. Look, listen to me. This world does not have one single thing for you to drink that's good for you. Not a single thing. Not one thing. It offers no allurement. It offers no pleasure that's decent. Not at all. Just keep, as I said this morning, just keep on going down God's highway and look at the water. Look at the water. Look at the water. Here's a brother Wardway washes his feet. He'd take a number two tub to wash those feet. But, in fact, he's wearing number two tubs now. But he washes, what size are those? 12s. Good night. I can take a whole set out of one of those. But, so he washes his feet, and there's all the dirt that comes off, the filth that comes off his feet. And so he gets that water, and he says, Brother Fish, want a drink of water? And Brother Fish says, that old dirty water? So Brother Boardway, he says, Brother Streeter, let me give you a drink of water. He gives you that wash pan, and just drink it out of the pan here. Brother Streeter looks at it and says, man, no, I'm a medical student. That's filthy. Brother Fish, don't you do it either. Don't you drink it. That's filthy. That's dirty. It's got the old dirt off his feet. I saw him wash his feet. And so Brother Boardway says, well, that I'll fix that. So he goes out and he gets some china. I mean, sorry, it's crystal. Some crystal. He pays $10 or $15 for one glass. He pours the old dirty water, and he says, now then, Brother Fish, better drink a little bit of this before I won't spit it. Now, says, same old, I shouldn't have drunk it. Have you been washing your feet up here on the platform? Says, you want some of this water? And he says, no. But he says, look, it's dirty. But Brother Boardway says, I know, but says, this is crystal. It cost me $15, this one glass. Keep your eye on the water. Don't look at the crystal. So he goes back and says, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get me a diamond-studded container. Boy, this will be something. He gets a beautiful container, costs $10,000, pours water in it, says, hey, you want a drink of water now? Brother Fish says, hey, boy, isn't that something? And then Brother Fish says, but keep your eye on the water. It's the same water, Brother Fish. Doesn't matter how pretty the glass is. So Brother Boardway says, well, I'm going to make him drink it. So he goes back over here and he gets him a beautiful lady. And he puts a bikini on her, and he tells her to go put one on, and that didn't come out right like it went in, and so she comes out here and she says, hello, big boy.
You see there? He didn't keep his eye on the water. See? Keep your eye on the water. You see? And I said, hold it with the fist. Keep your eye on the water. Don't look at that woman. Don't you see? That's why mixed bathing's wrong. You see, even Brother Fist took the water. You see? Keep your eye on the water. And so Brother Fist says, no, I won't do it. He gets old himself. He won't do it. And so the little lady goes back, and she gets her a choir. And the choir sings, in the land of sky blue waters. And as the choir sings, the land of sky blue waters, she comes out, diamond studded, beautiful container. There's a choir in the background. And this beautiful lady says, now, big boy, have a drink of water. Keep your eye on the water. Look at the water. It's the same water that's back in that wash pot. He washed his feet with it about 10 minutes ago. Keep your eye on the water. So he goes back and he says, okay, I'm going to get that lady, and I'm going to have a chorus of ladies, and they're going to dance and advertise that water. And so they all dance and advertise that water. And now then, keep your eye on the water. Keep your eye. No matter how much the glass glistens or glitters, it's still the same old dirty water. And I don't care whether it's in a nightclub, a little leap-in, leap-out place down here on the corner, where there's a light bill's not paid enough and there are cockroaches and rats in the attic. I don't care whether it's there or in a country club out in Woodmar, where they have their drinks and have their liquor and have their adultery. It's all the same dirty, worldly water. Steer clear of it. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. God pity us. We haven't got enough sense to know that the world is God's washpot. And after the filth is washed off, let's stay out of it. I don't care how it's dressed. I don't care how it's glamorized. I don't care how diamonds are. I don't care how expensive it is. I don't care how pretty the atmosphere. I don't care how beautiful the decoration. Stay out of it. It's from hell. It's dirt. It's filth. It's rot. And it's still the old same dirty water. Oh, the devil's a master craftsman. How he has taken an old wash pan of dirty water after it's washed the feet of God's people. He's taken the wash water and he's caused the whole world to hook, line, and sinker, swallow that stuff and fall for it. And that's why preachers like me have to always be saying, look at the water, look at the water, look at the water. Some of you males, I would say men, but I don't think you are. Some of you males grow your hair long like ladies. You look at these worldly long-haired zombies, and you say, I think they look nice. Be careful, but look at the water. That's communist water you're drinking. That's revolutionary water. You say, I don't believe it. Well, then you're a fool. You're a fool. Look at the water. Look at the water. Young people, don't drink the water. Don't let the devil and the world glamorize dirty wash water. Did you know? Who was it? This Sunday had a sermon called Rats in the Brewery Vats. Rats in the brewery vats. Did you know that they have scraped the bottom of some of these beer vats where this beer where it seasons, or what does it do? Ripens, or what does it do? Ferments, or whatever it does. They have scraped the bottom and they have found the bodies of lizards and rats and handfuls of cockroaches. Yeah. And yet, they put a teddy bear on television and some refreshing waters, and the teddy bear goes water skiing. And some choir, somebody saying, in the land of sky blue waters, and they're selling you liquid that was taken from the carcasses or from the carcasses of dead rats in brewery vats. And you're drinking that kind of filthy garbage just because they put the dirty wash water that was in a wash pot in a beautiful glass with foam on top. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. I drive by this place down here. I wish I didn't have to, but so often. And see what the devil has sold people. I wish, after we bought this tavern across the street, there used to be a tavern across the street over here. It was called the Knights of Columbus building, but it was nothing but a two-bit tavern.
I wish you could have seen that thing when we brought it and cleaned it up. You know why the lights were down low in that place? Because there wasn't much to see. I wish you could have seen the filth in that tavern in the bottom of that Knights of Columbus building we bought several years ago. And yet, men, old ladies, young ladies, even teenagers frequented that hellhole. You said, Brother House, you're criticizing other religion. Brother, if that's religion, somebody ought to know to criticize it, somebody ought to expose it. They frequented that hellhole across the street. Why, the health department would have condemned the place if they could have seen it. But the lights were too low. And by the way, it's always that way. These little taverns around here are filthy cesspools, but they have so gotten the lights and so appealed to the flesh, and they have put dirty wash water in a beautiful atmosphere. And our country is drinking it. Why? They didn't keep their eyes on the water. Keep your eyes on the water. Keep your eyes on the water. I'll be on the airplane tomorrow. And they'll come around and say, do you want a cocktail before lunch or dinner? Now, when they do that, don't look at the stewardess, and don't look at the beautiful bottle, and don't look at the luring advertisement. Look at the dirty water. And realize what that does to the bodies, lives, homes, futures, and dreams of America. Keep your eyes on the water. 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 I was flying from Dallas, Texas to Chicago several years ago. Been to Dallas preaching. Sat down beside a big, good-looking guy. Must have been about 60 years of age. He looked like he was president of the board of some big bank. Great, big, good-looking guy. Blue serge suit, big diamonds. Stud here. And I start talking, and we chatted a while. I never tell anybody what I am right away. Sometimes they tell me what I am after a while, but I didn't tell anybody what I am right away. And we got talking, and the stewardess came by and said, would you like to have a cocktail before lunch? And he said, I would. And I said, no, ma'am. No, I said, I wouldn't care for any. And so he drank his, and he got another one. Finally, he asked me, he said, what business are you in? And I said, I'm a pastor. Well, he said, I'm a deacon myself. And I said, where? He said, in Dallas, Texas. Oh, I said, I know a lot of preachers in Dallas. I might know your pastor. Oh, no. He said, you wouldn't know my pastor. And I said, what church do you attend? He said, the Richardson Heights Baptist Church. And I said, Brother Vandenberg. You know him? Know him well. I'll be talking to him soon, I think. You will? Yeah. Really well. Well, he said, this is the first drink I've had in years. And I said, if you got any sense, it'll be the last one. Now, I said, I'm not going to tell you, Pastor. I do know him. Known him for years. I'm not going to tell you, Pastor. But I said, God saw you. And it'd be a good idea for you, sir, to always remember that his eyes are on you always. And I said, the stuff that you're drinking not only has caused more people, bodies, and lives to be wrecked and ruined than anything I know, but it'll get you too. Look at the water. Look at the water. Doesn't matter who has the water. Doesn't matter the kind of container the water's in. Doesn't matter what kind of songs they sing. Doesn't matter what kind of ads they have on television. Look at the water. It's of the world. It's dirty. It's God's wash pot. Not only is there a danger of putting your feet too close to the water, trying to clean the water, washing with dirty water, not looking at the water, but there's also a danger of not washing regularly over the dirty water. Not washing regularly over the dirty water. Now listen. If you don't wash with clean water, running water, over your feet, you'll have no way in the world to compare the dirty water and the clean water. But as you continue washing constantly, cleansing your life, cleansing your habits, cleansing your ways, then you see that clear water and the dirty water. And ladies and gentlemen, anybody who's ever walked with God and walked in the world can see that there's a difference. If you've ever known one day of walking with God and one day of walking in the world, you full well know that the world's water is dirty. Now,
God's water
comes in simple glasses. And it's not brought by beautiful ladies in bikinis. It's brought by faithful, simple gospel preachers like you see on this platform, who try to be honest and sincere with you and say it pays to serve Jesus, it pays every day. We don't come glamorous. We don't come with a beautiful container made of 14 karat gold. We just bring it and we say, folks, don't worry about the container. Look at our water. Look at our water. We don't have to camouflage our water. We don't have to advertise our water. We don't have to glamorize our water. We don't have to try to detract your attention. We come with a glass that is clear and say, just look at it. Now, if you, ladies and gentlemen, will look at the water and not the glass, you'll drink the water of living. You drink the living water of Christ. If you'll look at the water and not the fellow who carries it, you'll see the water of Christ is the best. We don't glamorize it. We just say, there it is. Look at our water. Look at the water. Now then, the danger is, if you don't wash enough, you get far away from that wash pot, and you'll forget how dirty that water really is. That's what happened to the Jews. They were in Egypt in bondage. Their menu, their diet, was onions, watermelons, cucumbers, and leeks and garlic. And they said, we want to get to the promised land. We don't like this bondage and this rigor. We don't like this slavery in Egypt. We want to leave. And Moses marches into Pharaoh and says, let my people go across the Red Sea on dry ground, and toward the promised land they go. But the farther they get from Egypt, the less they remember how dirty the water was back home. And they have gotten so far from Egypt and had cleansed themselves so seldom that they began to say, we remember, we'd love to have some cucumbers again. Oh, if we could just go back to Egypt and have the watermelons and garlic again. If we could just go back and have the leeks and onions again. Take us back to Egypt. They'd gotten so far away from being daily cleansing till Egypt looked good. Folks, I don't care how far you get away from it. Dirty water is dirty water. I don't care how much it's advertised as being delicious. Dirty water is dirty water. And the water of life, even Jesus Christ. You ever stop and think? This is the miracle of it all. Out in front tonight, we have no signs that say, starring Jack Hiles preaching, John Colston reading the scripture. We have no sign out there of John Colston. In the first place, he'd get a sprained back if he got in that position. Ray Bordway starring along with the glamour choir, First Baptist Church. Did you ever stop and think that we don't have that out in front? We just got pure water. Huh? That's all we got. Just pure water. Did you notice tonight the choir came out? The ladies did not march out. Huh? They just walked out. Most of them got skirts long enough, too. I hope all of them. That's strange, isn't it? Huh? The girls, the ladies in the choir, didn't walk out tonight, and Mr. Bordway's out here. They didn't walk up and kiss him on the cheek and say, hello, sweetheart. Like they do on these rotten television shows, slobber all over each other. That's strange, isn't it? Not a picture in this book I'm using. Not a one. Probably the fist doesn't even need one. Not a picture in it. Just a few blocks away is a place that has flashing lights. Beautiful women on the outside, as the world counts beautiful women. And yet, we get the crowds and they don't. We have more folks than they do. You know why? Because here's why. Once you've drunk the water and get a good taste of it, then it doesn't matter what it's in anymore.
over in Book of Judges. It's a story about a fellow who came and sought refuge in what he thought was the home of a friend. And the friend's wife said, "Why don't you rest here? You're tired of running. I'll look out for you." And she gave him butter in a lordly dish. Now that butter is sort of like the clabber we used to drink, or the yogurt that I had a while ago. Sort of like clabber. You know what clabber is? How many know what clabber is? Good. And so it's sort of like that. And he took that buttermilk or that clabber, and he drank it and went off to sleep. And while she's asleep, while he was asleep, she took a tent peg and put it on his temple. And then she thudded that tent peg through his temple and nailed him to the floor. When he woke up, he was shocked to death. Think that through. Was butter in a lordly dish. Butter in a lordly dish. And that's always what the devil's crowd has to offer. The dish looks...